Mr. Speaker, let me just begin by stating that I am indeed excited, having digested the contents of the budget presented by the Honourable Prime Minister, and after listening to all colleagues on both sides of the House, I dare say, I must make it clear, Mr. Speaker, that I fully support the Appropriation Bill 2005-2006. Mr. Speaker, I feel particularly privileged. Privileged to be able to serve this country as Minister responsible for physical development, environment, and housing. Privileged to be able to be in a position to continue to serve my constituents in Choiseul and in Saltibus as their parliamentary representative. With your permission, sir, I will now proceed to inform this House and by extension the people of this most sacred isle of ours how this budget impacts on the Ministry of Physical Development, Environment and Housing and on my constituents in Choiseul and in Saltibus. Mr. Speaker, this year our thrust in this budget is to consolidate gains to develop a world-class destination and to enhance our human resource capacity. I'll say this first, Mr. Speaker. Generally, after a budget, one looks to the society for analytical comment. One looks for constructive debate. One looks to the analysis, to the analysts around us, Mr. Speaker, to comment, to give us a lead, to let us know how realistic or unrealistic in their own view that presented by our Minister of Finance really is. Perhaps the Honourable Member for Meeku North, who I know has just disappeared, attempted to do so this morning. And perhaps we should merely give him credit for livening up the debate. The content of his speech, and especially when he tried to turn sociologist for some reason or other, Mr. Speaker, may remain questionable. But that liveliness, that ability to debate, was markedly absent in our press the day after budget. And I have to say, Mr. Speaker, you know, I woke up in the morning, and thankfully, there was, what you call it, Dave at Sanders. Can't remember the name of the program though. You know? There he was with an analyst talking to the people, explaining the contents of the budget to our own people. Unfortunately, you looked at the morning papers, what did you see? What may well pass for Roro? He went home in the evening. You sat down to watch television. What's on the headlines? More Roro. I believe, Mr. Speaker, and I just have to say, I think our country must begin to move forward. And those responsible for disseminating information must have a sense of priority. Why should, on budget day, any other matter, far less an NCA matter that has been addressed, take priority over the $900 million+ that we have decided to invest in our country this year. Mr. Speaker, I do not believe for 1 minute that that budget should take second place to an issue that this government correctly addressed. The report is in the public domain. We hid nothing. Talk about it anytime. But come to the House, listen to the budget, get your experts if you're not good enough, evaluates and comments and educates the people of St. Lucia. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, the education in that respect is quite limited, simply because those responsible do not know how to disseminate information, and probably they simply can't. You know, there is another view, Mr. Speaker. You see, when a government presents a budget with no increase in taxation and with positive benefits to all persons across class and across sectors, there is little that the anti-government forces can see. They have nothing to criticize now, so they jump on the backs of old hats, old issues, NCA, the minister, blah, 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 rather than educating all people and inviting them to comment on what really is the business of this country. Mr. Speaker, a lot has been said about our inability or reluctance to support the less privileged people. But we know that this government of the St. Lucia Labour Party, cares more about those less privileged people than any other party, Mr. Speaker. And the contents of the budget really demonstrate this. Why? You see, all of us parliamentarians know that our older people come to us many times and say, "Auntie, $60 in advance, apart from your bursage, fini." We recognize them, we love them, and we try to assist them. You see, when we came into office, Mr. Speaker, they were living on something like $40 a month. Today, after this budget, they can get 85. That is a positive demonstration of our interest in less privileged persons. The increase in the subventions for elderly homes by an average of about 50% is also commendable. We care about those older people, those less privileged people, and we continue to look after them, Mr. Speaker. You can look at the book rental scheme, Mr. Speaker. I heard the member from Miku North saying something about we should revisit that. But does he realize what is happening here? We want every single child in this country to get a secondary education, and we want them to have access to books. Yes, we've built the schools, we've put them in classrooms, and we're giving them books. Yes. And Mr. Speaker, this is another positive demonstration. And Mr. Speaker, I have to say we need to continue programs like these, because we have discovered that what passes for knowledge or intelligence or education in this country cannot continue so. Of course, there are those that we can bolster. But Mr. Speaker, when I listen to some of those talk shows, and yesterday I was particularly angry, the day after budget, and everybody's talking about NCA. They've forgotten what was in the report. They want a new report. Now they're talking about secrets. You know? And Mr. Speaker, I have to say this to you. They come to the House of Assembly, put a telephone in front of some of us, you know, and the Leader of the Opposition has to let the world know he's not even sure which committee is he supposed to be chairing. Doesn't even know the name. And then they put a microphone in front of the Leader of One, and she's left wondering. You know, Mr. Speaker, rather than let them know this is budget day, let's talk about something constructive. You have the report. We've done what you wanted. Investigated, published, full. Everybody can get one. Talk about it anytime. But let's respect our budget. No. I understand that they've lost one again. Yes, Mr. Speaker. So across the spectrum, we get something for everybody, from the very poor to the better able. Mr. Speaker, apart from dealing with the traditional planning issues, planning and development issues, the Ministry of Physical Development, Environment and Housing, now faces emerging challenges that demand a repositioning so that these challenges are not only met, but handled effectively and professionally. The increasing demands on our quantity surveying services, the operationalization of the Physical Planning and Development Act, disaster management, as in Black Mali and in Tapion, Cricket World Cup 2007, land management, coastal, environmental and water management, shelter, settlement, and relocation are some of the challenges that the ministry must face if as it strides into a modern technological era. As a consequence, Mr. Speaker, the ministry now recognizes that it must maximize the use of technology, particularly information communications technology and geographic information systems. We expect that not long from now, the ministry will have its own comprehensive website so as to inform on our development initiatives, land use plans, forward planning projections, and other programs and projects. We know that investors from all over the world can benefit from such an initiative. The ministry recognizes too, Mr. Speaker, that its human resources are its most important assets and has reorganized its operations, processes, and activities in an effort to remain competitive and purposeful in developmental, economic, physical, environmental management. Attracting and retaining quality staff, Mr. Speaker, is one of our most serious challenges as competition from the private sector is indeed tough. I do not lament, Mr. Speaker, the fact that we are a public sector organization without the freedom to manipulate resources and projects as can happen in the private sector. Perhaps, however, if indeed we will, that ability to roam freely in the pursuit of higher productivity would have greatly assisted in the repositioning that I referred to earlier. As it is, we will have to ensure that the $12,648,048 allocated to us will cause us to maximize the obvious talent that resides in the ministry and produce a satisfactory return on our investment. The ministry can point to a number of major achievements this year. Thanks to some dedicated and committed staff, we were able to realize the dream of not only have the Piton Management Area designated a World Heritage Site, but were able to ensure a successful inscription ceremony. Today, all of St. Lucia knows that we have a World Heritage Site. And those who are yet to appreciate what that entails will gradually become more conscious as Gros Piton and Petit Piton, God's gift to humankind, continues to rise in celebration. Mr. Speaker, we know that designation marks the beginning of a process that must continue for as long as our world exists. We are confident and are determined that the site will remain uncontaminated as we begin to put appropriate mechanisms in place to ensure that our site is properly managed. The surveys and the mapping section has seen the completion of aerial photography of the whole island. The digitization of land registry map sheets is continuing, and so far more than 10% of map sheets have now been digitized. We are now moving towards the introduction of geographic information systems. This, we hope, will allow us to, among other things, establish a comprehensive computerized land information systems network. It will create national standards for geographic data collection, storage, and exchange. It will develop the human resources required to manage and operate a geographical data management system. It will establish a national digital geographic information database comprising topographic, cadastral, land use, soil, environmental, natural resource, infrastructural, and socio-economic components. It will develop, Mr. Speaker, a digitized cadastral index and a cadastral map for St. Lucia to ensure that the graphic impact of a national geographical information system can be established. Such a system, Mr. Speaker, will serve the interests of institutions responsible for land management, for land distribution, and for land registration, for physical and environmental planning, for utility planning and implementation, for development control, for valuation and taxation. GIS, as we call it, Mr. Speaker, must come. It is an absolute necessity. The physical planning section, Mr. Speaker, is probably the most challenged section of our ministry today. During this past year, we were able to train 26 building and planning officers in the application of the proposed building code and guidelines. The code is now awaiting final consultation, which we hope to complete this year, with immediate implementation to follow. It is obvious to all, Mr. Speaker, that this section must now perform at its best if it must meet the challenges that the growth in tourism generally and World Cup 2007 in particular poses. To this end, there is a team dedicated to fast-tracking applications so as to avoid Cricket World Cup projects being compromised and the impressive investments anticipated can be expedited. This year, Mr. Speaker, 1,291 applications were registered in the section. Of these, 1,112 have been processed. This represents 86% of all applications received. The other 14% are still at the processing stage, primarily at the appraisal stage prior to submission to the Development Control Authority. Mr. Speaker, there seems to be a lingering view that this section does not perform, that it retards progress, or is somehow anti-development. I have a different view. As I see it, Mr. Speaker, the figures resonate impressively. Of the 1,112 applications that were processed, 926, or 83%, have been approved. 602, or 65%, were approved within 1 month. Most residential applications fall within this category, and some may have been approved in as little as 2 weeks. Mr. Speaker, 182, or 20% of the applications registered, were approved within 2 months. 74, or 8%, took 3 months. 26, or 3%, 4 months. 16, or 2%, 5 months. And 26, or 3%, took over 6 months. When I look at the figures, Mr. Speaker, quite honestly, an old Creole saying comes to mind. Haïtien, dis-dain bleu. We are not complacent. The target, or more accurately, the legal requirement, is to give a decision within 90 days of the receipt of the application, or an extended period agreed between the head of section and the applicant. So the Act does recognize that there are cases in which approval would require more than 3 months. A number of factors may contribute to this. One of them, interestingly enough, is the developer's own readiness. Sometimes developers have great ideas. They submit applications, but they are not in a position to comply with the requirements of the DCA in order to obtain approval. It may be too that obtaining environmental impact assessment can lead to delays that were not anticipated. Where these EIAs are required, Mr. Speaker, delays tend to occur. Sometimes the ministry must take responsibility. And this highlights another problem. We have no control over referral agencies, and unless we have in-house expertise, we remain at the mercy of such agencies. But I also wish to say this. I believe that developers too must be proactive. They should anticipate where EIAs become necessary and engage in early discussion on terms of reference rather than await approval in principle and be told that an EIA will be required and then terms of reference will follow. Despite these drawbacks, Mr. Speaker, in 2004-2005, 93% of all registered applications met the statutory requirement. I believe this indicates that the section is working, and working well, and they ought to be applauded. Thank you. Quite importantly, Mr. Speaker, I must add that the section contributed 237,959 dollars to the Treasury in the last financial year. This year, Mr. Speaker, we were also able to activate Part 1 of the Physical Planning Act so that appeals which had been delayed for some time can now come into play. Mr. Speaker, the architectural section continues to its admirable designs, and this year completed a number of projects including the Ministry of Justice offices, the fencing of the Supre and Chuzelle, Fisheries, Phase 1 of the High Court Registry, Otabor relocation, steel plant sheds in Miku, in Labri and Ancillary, and the Groslet Comfort Station. The section, Mr. Speaker, is quite stretched and still has under construction a number of projects. This includes the Groslet waterfront redevelopment, Mr. Speaker, the Groslet comfort, it represents phase one of the development of the whole Groslet waterfront. I'm sure the member for Groslet will know that on completion, he will have a most enviable waterfront. Perhaps at least he'll begin to compete with Supre. The promenade will form the second phase of the project and is expected to commence the first quarter. Yes. Yes. The entry port daycare, yes, has seen work complete. We've seen work completed on that facility. It forms part of the entry port Human Resource Development Center, constructed at a cost of $368,822.05. It comprises a meeting room with washroom facilities, full daycare services to accommodate 50 children. The Denry Tourism Outlet, Mr. Speaker, is due to be completed and handed over by April 30th this year. That is not very long from now. That is my reliable information, sir. Denry Tourism Outlet. We hope. This year, Mr. Speaker, architects and the practice of architecture was given a boost. We didn't mention it. We can't talk about everything, you know, we won't finish. Yes, the architects were given a boost through the passing of the Architects Registration Act. This act entrusts the general aesthetics of our country to a responsible group of persons and ensures that this group is well regulated. No doubt, persons who wish to be part of this aspect of our physical development will see the act as progressive, timely, and constructive. I have said before, Mr. Speaker, that we have, in our architectural section, enviable talent. I believe that their input in the designs of the new hospitals ably demonstrates the quality and the professionalism that the section carries. I believe that that talent will become more visible as they continue to impact on our landscape. Thanks, at least in part, to the Architects and Registration Act. Mr. Speaker, our Sustainable Development and Environmental section continues to display a sort of quiet competence. This section can probably be referred to as the engine room, which drives national policies, international conventions, and ensures that environmental considerations remain ever present as our physical development takes off. This year, the section has continued its public awareness programs via both print and electronic media, and through the development of posters and videos. They have also identified a preliminary set of indicators for monitoring our progress as we strive to achieve sustainable development. The section has also completed a draft national environmental policy and environmental management strategy. Such policies and strategies are not unique to us, but reflect modern thinking on environmental issues and are consistent with policy and strategy in the OECS, the wider Caribbean, and internationally. This last year saw the completion of a technology needs assessment for climate change adaptation. As you would have heard, Mr. Speaker, the government of St. Lucia recently signed two agreements for grant funding as regards climate change. One, funded by the World Bank, will undertake vulnerability assessments in coastal areas, while the other seeks to produce high-resolution models for assessing the impact of climate change. The section also guides the energy portfolio of the Ministry. As such, the section retains close contact with LUSLEC as it seeks to install wind turbines, which, at the pilot stage, will generate up to 1.2 megawatts of electricity. For the uninitiated, Mr. Speaker, I just wish to inform that St. Lucia's peak demand is in the region of 48 megawatts. This will give you an indication of the proportion in terms of wind, of electricity from the wind farm. Additionally, Mr. Speaker, this year, the section has completed a white paper on national land policy. It has trained hoteliers in energy audits and retrofitting their establishments with energy-efficient lighting. It has commenced an efficient lighting project for the general public, established a coastal zone management unit, and had a coastal zone management policy approved by Cabinet. Among the projects of the coastal zone unit this year, Mr. Speaker, will be a study on the sewage needs assessment in Viewfort. The section is also actively involved in making integrated development planning a reality. And over the last year, a number of stakeholder consultations were held which identified the core elements of a national vision. Mr. Speaker, the Housing and Settlements Unit is another area that has stood out over the last year. The section managed the training and certification of 245 operatives in disciplines which included electrical installation at three levels, plumbing, retrofitting, painting and tiling, and cost estimating. The section also prepared the relocation plans for the ancillary flood protection project and phase one of the Conway relocation project, which the Minister of Finance alluded to in his budget presentation. Well, we look forward to that, Mr. Member. I'm sure you'll enjoy seeing houses being built on all the space you've got in Monshi. Under the Sites and Services Program, approximately 8 acres of land was developed for residential purposes at Crestland in Soufre. 57 lots were approved by the DCA for residential development, and in the second phase, 200 lots were approved for residential development at Morsh. Mr. Speaker, we continue to be proud of PROUD. This year, drains, footpaths, and roads were constructed and water lines installed in Peipadu, in Latuni, Pi Village, Dermon, and areas rationalized included Ravin Poisson, Labey, Sandife, Sarot, Bexon, Pierre Village, Lacroix, Lavery, Larisos, Diamond, and Latour in Viewport. A visit to these areas, Mr. Speaker, will reveal an unbelievably impressive work in giving a new lease of life to communities that appeared resigned and without direction. Don't worry, you're soon welcome. Mr. Speaker, I believe that the Solid Waste Management Authority remains the flagship authority. They continue to show commendable initiative while they manage our solid waste, and their successes this year include the passing of the new Waste Management Act, the implementation of an island-wide biomedical waste collection service, implementation of privately funded solid waste improvement programs for Bernard Hill, Fuasho, and Marshall, and the reduction in the cost of waste collection contracts. Mr. Speaker, I wish to place on public record my appreciation of the work of the ministry, Mr. Speaker, and I believe that with the assistance of the rest of my colleagues and the Minister of Finance in particular, this section will continue to prove its worth and will continue to give a satisfactory return on our investment. I want now, Mr. Speaker, to pay some attention to matters pertaining to my constituency. Mr. Speaker, Schwazelle and Saltibus is special. That area in particular is special. It is unique. That constituency, that speciality and that uniqueness, if you like, Mr. Speaker, combine to make it one of the most breathtaking of landscapes in this part of our country. Mr. Speaker, some time ago, I took this house on a tour of that constituency and demonstrated how practically every area in that constituency had something of value to offer the people of this country. That continues to be true, Mr. Speaker. These days, the tour might become a little easier, Mr. Speaker, because road development in Schwazelle is at unprecedented levels. Mr. Speaker, much has been said of the Soufre to Viewport Highway. Everyone who's traveled on it talks about value for money. Everyone says it. We are satisfied. Perhaps one will have a different view, but what do you expect? We are satisfied, Mr. Speaker. But members, honorable members, must realize that of the 20 or so kilometers of road, more than half that, is in Schwazelle. You see, from Bladsey to Labry, or to Piai, 3 or 4 miles, and from Milesbridge to Soufre, another 3 or 4 miles. So the people of Schwazelle, Mr. Speaker, are the greatest beneficiaries. And the people of Schwazelle, Mr. Speaker, particularly the motorists of Schwazelle, will tell you that they are indeed pleased, thankful, ecstatic even, that they can now drive along roads that make them feel that they are driving in a developed country. You see, Mr. Speaker, there is a disadvantage, and we've already begun to experience it. Sometimes you're young and you see nice roads and you just drive. And invariably, accidents will occur. My plea to our motorists simply is to remember nice roads encourage fast driving, and fast driving can lead to accidents. So, a word of caution. The construction of that road did leave us with a lot of pain. We handled the pain. We did have to talk to a number of constituents. We did have to speak to a number of organizations to ensure that on completion, various aspects were not left were dealt with, Mr. Speaker. For example, accesses, access to various homes. The company is still working on a number of accesses, a number of sidewalks, a number of small bridges, works of the sort that continue, and works that have come outside, if you like, the main road contract. So we are happy. The highway is substantially in Chazelle, and the highway is a credit to the government of St. Lucia, and the people of Chazelle are indeed thankful. There is another program of roads, Mr. Speaker, which I believe are even more important to the people of Chazelle. You see, Mr. Speaker, as I said earlier, if you look at Chazelle, if you were able to take a vantage point and look around, you'd see a number of bridges over a large expanse of land, and traveling from one place to another requires a lot of movement within the constituency. So secondary roads take a very important significance. The other package, Mr. Speaker, that now under construction includes the road that starts in Supra, if you like, in Etang, coming down through Unionville and into Delce, El Pojolip still in Supra, into Delce, La Pointe, past Industry, to Monsieur, Poyo actually, and into Lirish. That, Mr. Speaker, is actually commendable. And the road also starts at Victoria, comes down through Morgouge, Mate, going down, not into Fietniev, but Morgouge, Mate, Lirish, to join the other road. So a lot, Mr. Speaker, a lot of roadworks are being done in Chazelle at this point. We hope that program of works will be complete by the end of the year, and the people of Chazelle will see a big difference. Can't finish yet. Mr. Speaker, the road from PI to Altibus 2 is also on the agenda. We hope to commence works on that road later this year, and as far as I understand, not much later. PI to Saltibus, as we all know, Mr. Speaker, the road recently have done some potholing because, like many other, the road was not in top shape. But I want to inform the motorists, particularly who use that road, and the people of Londonderry, La Pelle, Jetwing, and these communities. Yes, Tabon, Giro. Yes. I'm so happy that the Minister of Communications can remind me of all those little areas in Chazelle. That is good. That is why the roads are being done, you know, because our minister knows them. Oh, sorry. Yes, Mr. Speaker. That road is being done, and the people of these communities will benefit immensely. Mr. Speaker, in addition to that, the government of St. Lucia itself continues to spend money on our secondary roads. And this year, the road from Monjac going down to Ziga Cafe is on the plan of works again, and we hope to see that completed. And Mr. Speaker, it might just interest honourable members to know that in Choiseul, apart from the highway I spoke of and the AFD roads currently in progress, the government has also spent 611,967 dollars on road rehabilitation in Choiseul. That, I think, is commendable. Mr. Speaker, we're a small country. A small cake and a lot of persons to bite from it. And with a little bit of patience, Mr. Speaker, people of my constituency in particular, but St. Lucians in general should recognize that this government is committed to uplifting their standard of living and to helping their communities in such a way as to make them feel part of that community and wanting to remain in that community. Mr. Speaker, there is much talk sometimes when you try to inform people of what goes on and why you think your community is prospering. They say, what about work? What about work? What about employment? This morning we heard the member from Eagle North. Oh, we didn't even talk about employment in the budget, or unemployment for that matter. Choiseul is an industrious country. A lot of agriculture, a lot of fishing, a lot of craft work. That doesn't mean we do not need the additional employment, Mr. Speaker. But I am encouraged, Mr. Speaker, because I have a lot of confidence in some of the projects that were announced in the budget presentation earlier this week. You know, Mr. Speaker,
the honourable member has 15 minutes remaining to make his contribution.
I'll keep going, Mr. Speaker. I mean, reach. Yes, Mr. Speaker. Some of the projects will mean that there must be employment quite near Choiseul. Imagine in Safi, right next to PI in the constituency, 113 acres of land being developed, a high-class hotel, work to start this year. I urge my people from Choiseul to get up. Those of you who have the skills to get ready, because there will be a lot of work in that area, and you, so close, must take advantage of that. Mr. Speaker, we saw a lot of employment activity during this construction of the highway. We continue to see activity on the small roads, perhaps not enough. But I believe with a bit of initiative, we will get there. Young people need to be employed, need to have that confidence going, and this government is doing its utmost to provide that atmosphere to make that possible. And as we talk about young people, Mr. Speaker, I want to assure the young people too that we continually think of them. As far as sporting activity in the constituency goes, Mr. Speaker, there is one acceptable, if you like, playing field. I can't say that it's not good. It's a good playing field. It's not fenced, and it doesn't have all the facilities we need. But we think we have a good ground. There are a number of smaller areas, Mr. Speaker, small communities that need playing fields. There is one in Balcar, for example, and one in PI. And this year, Mr. Speaker, negotiations are underway so that youngsters of Jetwin, who have sought a playing field for a very long time, will see that being realized. I believe, Mr. Speaker, that with a lot of effort, with the support of the community itself, the youngsters in Jetwin will do their utmost to ensure that this playing field, for which land has already been acquired, will become a reality. Mr. Speaker, I believe one of the most significant developments in the last year is the rationalization of PIA College. I've said it before. When we grew up, my grandmother would say, "Sorti la tu vas tapater au PIA." You know, because in PIA, anybody just went and put their house anywhere. Crownland just used it. Rationalization has been a very, very difficult task. And as mentioned earlier, we continue to be proud who has gone into that community and rationalized in a manner that allows people now to own their bit of PI. That, Mr. Speaker, is in my view a very significant development in the lives of the people of PI. You know, it is such a difference to be able to say, "Here is my deed. Can you lend me $500? It is so good to be able to tell the rest of the world that I have the necessary collateral. All right? Mr. Speaker, right next to the PI village, the works continue at that PI Ballambush development. That development, Mr. Speaker, I must say, has had its problems. I can't pretend to be very impressed with progress on that development. In the PI Ballambush, people have been buying land in that area before 1997. However, it has taken a lot of time to give them the necessary infrastructure. I have been persuaded, however, that time is nearing, or rather, the disappointment, if you like, will soon be over. And in that area, at least the roads will commence almost immediately. So persons who have bought land in that area behind school will now have better access to their properties, and the infrastructure, which they deserve, which they ought to have had a long time ago, can now come into place. Mr. Speaker, another significant development is the rationalization of Lafargue land, what we call the Lafargue rationalization plan. This year, Mr. Speaker, we hope to bring that rationalization into effect. The DCA have already given us full approval for a proposal which will show 137 residential lots. A number of people have expressed interest in that area, and I have no doubt these lots will go like hotcakes. In that area, Mr. Speaker, 1.3 acres of land has been proposed for the expansion of the secondary school. 15,000 square feet is proposed for the construction of a fire station along the main road, and 16 acres of land in the area is proposed for agricultural purposes. In order to minimize vehicular traffic in that area, Mr. Speaker, the road that sort of lies between the two fields, if you want to call it that, will be closed, and a new road will link the residential area from the main road onto the side closer to the Chazelle village. Land is also allocated for the possible relocation of the Chazelle Credit Union, which, as you know, is located in the heart of the village, with no parking facilities and with little scope for expansion as it is. The proposals for that development, Mr. Speaker, once implemented, will change the face of Lafargue forever. Those of you who know Lafargue, when you come onto the field, you look behind, you see a lot of emptiness. I trust when you look there in quick time, you will see what might well appear to be a city in the making. I expect, Mr. Speaker, that work will commence any time now, and our people, or people of Trezell and its environments, Lafargue and its environments, will have something to be proud of.
The Honourable Member has 5 minutes left to make his contribution.
Thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, we continue our aggressive rural electrification program. I've heard it said that you shouldn't boast if you're talking about street lights, even a street lamp there or a pole there. But Mr. Speaker, who doesn't celebrate when they've moved from darkness into light? That is correct, sir. That is correct. The people of the community, Mr. Speaker, when that electricity comes to them, the celebration is so obvious. The celebration is something that's very, very touching. I have seen people hug and kiss me because a lamp is now near them, and they will no longer burst their toes as they go home in the evening. That is the value of the rural electrification program. The things that many of us take for granted, but though the recipients themselves value immensely. This year, we spent $193,257 on rural electrification. Mr. Speaker, I do not pretend that all is rosy. I do not say that we miss nothing. We're not complacent. And there is a lot of scope for improvement. But what I'd like to say, Mr. Speaker, is this. I believe we are working at a satisfactory pace. And the things that we have not achieved, what we do not have now, if you observe the manner in which we work, you can be confident that it will come. I mean, one of our problems, Mr. Speaker, in many areas of the constituency, we still have water problems. The people of Morgouge, of Espérance, even in Dibrel, they cannot have that ready access to water. In Morgouge, I understand that the pipeline is being changed and the works, the road works, as it continues, the pipes will be changing together with the road works. By the time it continues, therefore, we should be having water a lot more frequently. No need repeating, Mr. Speaker, but we know water is life, we know water is necessary, and we hope that the powers that be will do their utmost to ensure that every community and every person in this country, not only in Trezell and in Saltibus, but in this country, has ready access to water. This, I believe, when this occurs, Mr. Speaker, I believe we will be well on our way to calling ourselves a developed country. Many people still complain, Mr. Speaker. There's no cable TV in areas, and in some areas there are no phones. And I share that because, like I said, if there were, we would not be relying on NTN only to give us constructive discussion, debate on our budget. You see, sometimes we leave our people to the mercy of the soap operas, and that constructive debate that is necessary, they miss it because our media personalities, if you like, cannot take the time or do not have the what it takes to decide what should go out into those communities. The communities, Mr. Speaker, our communities need to be educated as much as they need to be resourced. And Mr. Speaker, I want to say that I am satisfied that this government of the St. Lucian Labour Party, is continuing to look after the people of Choiseul and Saltigas. And the gains that we have made, we will continue to consolidate them as this budget has promised them. Mr. Speaker, I thank you.